perfectly, you're going to get to go to heaven this way. On the other hand, the righteousness that is based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, this righteousness that comes from God is not as hard for you. You don't have to go up to heaven to fetch Christ down. You don't have to go down into the abyss to fetch Christ up. It's near. In fact, that's what the next word says. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So when I explain to you that the first thing you need to know is that you must be saved, there are two big ideas. There is, you've got to be saved from the bad stuff. You've got to be saved to the good stuff. And the good stuff is righteousness. And then this also can be subdivided into two categories. There's the theoretical, hypothetical possibility that you can work this out on your own and get your own righteousness. But, you know, I keep talking like this is a possibility. You're not going to do it. You know, I would not trust the best 15 seconds that I've ever lived to get me into heaven. If God just said, okay, Jim, we're going to do it the law, but here's the deal. You choose any 15 seconds that you want. And the time when you were most affected with the truth, the time when you were most engaged in prayer, when you were most in my presence, and if there is no sin whatsoever in that 15 seconds, then I'll take you to heaven. Deal? No deal, I say. I don't want that deal. I do not want that deal. But I keep talking about it like it's a possibility. But it's not. All have sinned already. We have a sinful tendency. And so the other righteousness then is a righteousness that comes from God. It is a righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know how I told you that there was only one person who lived the perfect 10, and that was Jesus? Guess what? That man, Jesus, is willing to credit his righteousness to everyone who has faith. He's able to credit it to everyone who believes, so that we can stand before God with a perfect righteousness. Not a full of holes, moth-eaten, half-hearted righteousness that we concoct, but a perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be saved. Then, what does this text tell us God requires of us? And there are two things that are mentioned here. First of all, he says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. We'll talk about that. And then the second thing is, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So, you know, without even a preacher telling you, that these are not some kind of magic abracadabra words. This is not something that if you just say, well, I'll do that. Jesus is Lord. Am I saved now? I mean, you know it doesn't mean that. It's not just saying the words. What does it mean to confess? Well, most of the time in modern English, when we use the word confess, we are admitting something that we'd rather not admit. We're saying, I did the bad thing, I thought the bad thing. And that's what it confesses. But confess actually has a larger meaning than that word, a larger meaning than just I'm admitting to something that I'd rather not. It has the meaning of I am saying that this is true. Now, in our case, in modern English, it's usually a bad thing, but it has a bigger meaning. I am saying that this thing is true. And in this context, we are saying Jesus is Lord. And when you are saying this true thing, that Jesus is Lord, there are two aspects. That you're saying something about Jesus, and you're saying something about yourself. First of all, you are saying about Jesus, he is the biggest boss in the universe. He is the most authoritative person in the universe. He is Lord. He is the person who has been granted power and authority over this world. That's what Jesus said before he left. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. There's another verse of Scripture that says that God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name. So when you profess the truth, Jesus is Lord, you're saying something about him. You're saying, I believe that he really has been exalted to a position of authority. Jesus himself said that God has entrusted all judgment to him so that at the last day when you are judged and I'm judged, we are going to be judged by Jesus Christ. Jesus has been raised to the highest place in the universe. So when you say Jesus is Lord, when you confess that Jesus is Lord, you're saying something about him. You're not going to get saved if you don't believe that. So if you just don't get any further than believing that Jesus was a really nice man, a very profound, insightful teacher, you're not going to get saved. You must confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, you're saying something about Jesus when you say that, but you're also saying something about yourself. You are saying, Jesus is my Lord. You're not going to get saved if you don't do that. There's some bad teaching that says you can say the right prayer and God will save you and you can continue living however you want to. That's bad teaching. That's not the teaching of the Scripture. The Bible says that we are saved when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that he becomes your boss. That means that from now on you make it your point in life to do what the Lord tells you to do. You do what the Lord wants you to do. You want to believe what the Lord says is true. And so when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it means that you are acknowledging that he is the highest of all, and you're saying about yourself, I'm submitting myself to him now. He is my Lord. So you're not going to get saved if you don't confess that. As far as just saying the words, you might ask the question, can a person who is incapable of speaking get saved? He can't confess with his mouth, so it obviously means something more than simply mouthing the words. There's substance to it. You really believe this. Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. And then there's the second thing in this text. What if you want to be saved, saved from the bad stuff, delivered to the good stuff, first of all, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And then the second thing in this text of Scripture is believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Once again, you can see that the language is chosen, that it's more than simply a mental assent. The way that I might mentally assent to something that someone would tell me about my great-grandparents whom I never met. But if I could talk to someone who knew my great-grandparents and say, wow, you really look like your great-grandmother, then I might mentally assent to that. I have no reason to doubt this person who's telling me that, so I mentally assent to it. But it doesn't really affect the way that I live my life. Faith is persuasion of truth that is based on testimony. In the case of somebody telling me about my great-grandparents, I think, this is an honest person. I believe what they're saying. In the case of the truths that are revealed in the Scripture, faith is persuasion of truth that is based on testimony. You've heard me say it again and again. Faith is believing what God has said. Who's the person giving the testimony? God's the one giving the testimony. So faith is believing what God has said with the intention of obeying him. Especially when the only reason that you have for believing it is because it's God's testimony, because God is the one who has said it. And that is, faith is the word that is used throughout this passage to talk about the other kind of righteousness. It is the kind of righteousness, not by works, but the righteousness that is God's righteousness. The word faith is not used in this second phrase of this passage. It says, if you believe in your heart. But it means the same thing. Believing in your heart is faith. It's not bare, minimum mental assent. It is saying, God has said this. I believe it. I believe it. Lord, let the truths that should filter into my life as a result of believing that Jesus has raised from the dead, let those truths filter in. Change me. How should I be changed if I really believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead? Well, if Jesus is raised from the dead, then it means two or three things. First of all, it means that God accepted the sacrifice that Jesus offered on behalf of sinners. When Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his own sins. He was dying as a substitute. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, when God forgives a person of his sins, he doesn't just say, well, we can just pretend like that never happened. No, God says every sin must be punished, and the wages of sin is death. And if Jesus is going to stand as a substitute for sinners, then he must die. And that's one of the main reasons why Jesus became a human, because as God, Jesus could not die. But as a human, he could die, and he did die, and he was dying as a substitute for sinners. This is the way another verse of Scripture puts it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Bible says that when Jesus died, he died as a substitute for sinners. Was God pleased with that? And the resurrection says, yes! Exclamation point, yes! And on the day that Jesus arises from the grave, Psalm 2 puts these words into the mouth of God the Father, or in the mouth of God the Son. I will declare the decree. My Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Jesus is raised up from the dead. God says, today you have become my appointed Messiah. This is the way it's put in another verse of Scripture, that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. So, the resurrection from the dead, when you say, I believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you are saying, I am happy with what God is happy with. If God is happy with the sacrifice of Jesus for my sins, then I'll be happy with that too. I receive Jesus as my substitute, as my Savior. And if the risen Christ is alive today, then that means that I can have a relationship with him. Now, I'm just smashing all my reasons together here, so let me separate them and tell you that I've given you three so far. So when you say, I believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, you are saying, number one, I agree with God that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to satisfy my sins, the sacrifice for my sins. Number two, when Jesus was raised from the dead, I am agreeing with God that he is the appointed Messiah who is able to continue doing all the work that is necessary for me to be made ready to live in heaven happily forever. And then the third thing that I've mentioned is that because Jesus is raised from the dead, that means that he is a living person with whom I can have a relationship. And as I read the Bible, I am going to try to read it like a message of love from Jesus. When I pray, I'm going to pray like I'm writing a letter of love to Jesus. And I'm coming to God through Jesus. So at least those three things are contained when you say, I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. This verse is a declaration to say the way of salvation that God has provided through Jesus is the way of salvation that I freely embrace. With all of the conditions that God has put upon it, I unconditionally surrender to God. Now, if you are an unbeliever and you have been wondering, what must I do to be saved? Here's the answer. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And if you are a a poor, storm-tossed saint who is pelted with doubts, am I a Christian or not? Let me ask you this. Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Are you happy that Jesus is the highest person in the universe? Are you happy to submit yourself to Jesus as your Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Are you satisfied with the sacrifice that he made on the cross? Are you happy for Jesus, the living person, to influence you now? Are you happy now to come to God through Jesus Christ? Then listen to what this verse of Scripture says. You're saved. You're saved. So put all of those frets and those doubts to rest if this describes you this morning. This is the Word of God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Jim Baum.